Upfront Minnesota has a mission to create a state where lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people are free to be who they are. In this next conversation, we're going to meet Blaine Kelly, Youth and Schools Coordinator, Esme Rodriguez, School Equity Director, and Outfront Minnesota's Executive Director, Monica Meyer. She tells us what they do at Outfront.
This is our 30th anniversary. So we started in 1987, and we're an organization that works to make the idea that being lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer, that is a good thing, that people should not face any barriers to just living a very vibrant life where they can thrive in our state. You know, we really work to make our state a place where you can be who you are, love who you love, and not face violence, harassment, discrimination, or isolation. And so that really sets us up to do, that's our very big goals. Mm-hmm. But really what we do is we work with community members across the state to really come up with ways where we advance equity. And so that means that we, you know, are in working with youth in schools, working with teachers who want to address bullying, really working with workplaces who want to make sure that they have the most inclusive workplace they can. We do a lot of work at the state capitol, as you can imagine, where we work with legislators to look at how could we continue to have Minnesota be a place that is really on the cutting edge of making sure that we have inclusion and equity. And so right now we're looking at, you know, on a state level, how do we ban conversion therapy for youth? Where, you know, there's youth right now where they go to therapy sometimes where the aim is to try to fix them and try to have them not be LGBTQ.
Does that mean there is kind of an industry of people that conversion therapy is a...
So there is. So there are some people who, in their practice, they believe that there's something wrong with being lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer. And so they really look at that they want to make sure that they can try to get that out of somebody somehow. And of course, we know that that's impossible. And I think the larger damage that it does is it really sends the message and tells youth and adults and everyone in Minnesota that there's something wrong with being who you are. And that's why every major psychological association in the country has come out against conversion therapy. And they actually call it child abuse because, I mean, how do you really chip away at someone's dreams and hopes when you're telling them, you know, it doesn't matter what you think you know, who you are, you're definitely, there's something wrong with you. So let's try to fix that. And it's something that isn't fixable and that shouldn't be. Really, you should just be able to be who you are. And you should be able to be supported. And particularly when people are doing with youth, it does severe damage.
So how do you work on that in the state level and with the legislature? How will you tackle that at Outfront?
The way that we work on legislative issues, so when we were able to pass marriage equality in 2013, or when we passed the comprehensive safe schools law, you know, we build big coalitions. We try to get as many people involved, as many organizations, and so that we're working with a big, broad team of people and organizations who are working to advance the legislation. And then legislators, you know, they're just community members too. And so we include them. We work with them to try to really educate Minnesotans on why it's a good idea to move the legislation forward and that it actually is beneficial for our state. All over the country, you know, when you talk to voters, people really support the idea of banning conversion therapy. And it's just common sense. And it, also we know the harm that it does to youth. So yes, we do legislation as well.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about why you were all in northern Minnesota. Blaine or Esme, kind of talk about what brought you here and what work you've been doing.
Cool. Well, overall, I have pretty much like the raddest job in the world. I get to spend my time traveling around all different schools, high schools and middle schools throughout the state of Minnesota, doing trainings for the general student body, for specific health classes, and as well as meeting with GSAs. So GSA back in the 90s used to stand for Gay Straight Alliance. Nowadays, we have it stand for Gender and Sexuality Alliance. So it's more all-encompassing of the variety of ways that people identify and who we are as different people. And so when I do those kind of visits, I meet with students to find out what's going on in their lives, talk about what kind of goals they have, any kind of challenges they're facing, and also do a plethora of different trainings and workshops based around LGBTQ identities.
Esme, you have a background in education. What led you to the work you do with Out Front?
I do. I taught college for 13 years. I taught women's gender and sexuality studies, as well as Spanish language and literature. And teaching has always been something that's really pulled me, because I believe that we're all students and teachers throughout our lives, no matter what our position. And when I came to the point of my 13th year of teaching, I thought, you know, I really want to make a move to working one-on-one with people as well as working with groups. And I thought that nonprofit was a good world to be in. So I worked for a couple agencies in Minnesota. I worked for one agency in Portland, Oregon. And then I came back and I was really attracted to the job at OutFront because it brought back that academic part of me, because I'm kind of a theory nerd at heart. But then it was like there was a human aspect too, because I feel like to do the work that we're doing, to do equity work, you really have to have compassion and tenacity. So meeting people where they're at is really important, because we all come from different experiences and backgrounds, and respecting people's backgrounds and experiences is really important in the work that we do. But the factor of being really like tenacious is like, we're learning something new together, so now we're going to move ahead in this fight for equity. Because I believe that everyone is individual, unique, and talented. And unfortunately, our world isn't set up to foster those talents in people. So if we can start with, you know, kind of a lens around an educational view, work with youth, work with staff and faculty and teachers at schools and administrators, I think that that's a really healthy way to pass lessons of equity and responsibility and support along in our communities.
That's Esme Rodriguez. She's the school equity director for OutFront Minnesota. We're talking with her and executive director Monica Meyer, as well as Blaine Kelly, who's coming up next, youth and schools coordinator. You're in rural schools now, as you're up in northern Minnesota. Any special challenges that rural schools face, or living in rural areas rather than cities?
Well, I definitely think we exist in a world where you have this binary notion of like, oh, if you live in the cities, it's wonderfully perfect in this liberal, progressive, magic land, and everyone's supportive. And if you live in rural Minnesota, greater Minnesota, it's the exact opposite. And I think it's really important to kind of explode that myth, because there's supportive folks in both areas. You know what I mean? I don't want to sell any community short. On the flip side of that, there's also less supportive folks in all different areas as well. One of the things that was really expressed to us in one of our meetings yesterday was, in this area, though, the lack of support is attributed to the range culture, and that's just how it is on the range. And so, again, those are not my words. Those are the words of those folks living in the community. And so I guess one of the unique things or challenges about working in this area is combating that ideology that this is just part of range identities and the character of individuals here, because we know that's not true. We know not every single person in this area is unsupportive. And to allow that to be perpetuated as the norm and the standard, when there's a variety of people whose lives are a testament against that, is really, really important to show people that just because you're from a certain area and a certain area has a stereotype or a mentality of being one way, that doesn't mean that's exactly how it is or how it needs to be or how it will have to stay forever.
Politics have changed somewhat, and this is always happening in our world, where who's in power changes along the way. Are you seeing any of that with the students, with the schools that you work with?
Unfortunately, yes. There's a school we have been working with for quite a while, actually. We've done both faculty trainings there for all the staff, as well as trainings for the youth. Worked with the GSA. One of the members of their GSA is actually on our GSA Leadership Council. Our Leadership Council brings together about 20 students from all over the state who work to get together twice a month for meetings, and they kind of structure things and work on plans for the greater GSA network, which is comprised of over 100 high schools and about 30 middle schools and junior highs. So despite having a really great connection with the school and having done a lot of work there, there's a spirit rock they have at the school. And for different events throughout the year, different groups at school get to basically redesign the rock or paint it in different colors with different messages and things, depending on what the event is. So back in April, we have Day of Silence, which is a day where students vow to be silent for the whole school day to bring attention to the silencing damaging effects of people not stepping out and standing up for LGBTQ equity and justice, and just letting, you know, negative things happen without being an active bystander and getting involved. So in honor of that event, the students in the GSA had colored the spirit rock like rainbow colors and wrote really positive, like inclusive messages on the rock. The night before the event, some students came in, spray painted the rock entirely black, and wrote the name of the president on the rock and then signed their initials all over it. It was unfortunate that that happened. However, the next day when students came in and saw that, they were visibly upset, expressed a lot of concerns, and the school's reaction was to, well, first the message was to teachers, don't talk about this with your students. The only message they did send to the students was, don't put this on social media, don't put this out in the world.
How could the response have been better and done good things in the world to what had happened?
Well, definitely acknowledging what's going on in the world. If we pretend that atrocities aren't happening, they will continue to happen. It's so important that we as individuals and as community members stand up when there's injustice happening and call it out and name it for what it is and work through that. One of the really, really disappointing things about the situation was not only did the students put their initials on it, they were caught on video. Students admitted to doing it, were bragging about it, and the school did not take any actions to create consequences for those members. And so, you know, really engaging in dialogue with the students about what, you know, not just telling people, oh, you're bad or you're a bigot for doing something like that, right? Because if we just call people names and tell people what to do, that's not going to be effective, right? We need to have meaningful dialogue that changes hearts and minds and engage with students and talk about why this was damaging, why this was detrimental, the impact that it actually had on folks, and kind of dive into their own intent in doing that and kind of, you know, taking it apart and piecing it back together with knowledge of the impact of what's going on.
Is OutFront the kind of organization that something, if something happened like that at a school, a community center, a church, could they call you? Could they ask for help to come and talk to people?
Oh, most certainly. Actually, we did receive an email from one of the advisors at that school, and we have been talking to the head of our anti-violence program, who is going to write a letter of support and ask the administration why they didn't form any consequences for these students. I think it's really important that staff and faculty step up. They need to know that they are supported by the Department of Education in supporting every child for who they are. I think that, you know, every child deserves an equitable education and to be respected for the person that they are, because we have students from all over the place in Minnesota, right? So I think that really kind of engaging with the teachers and administration is going to be important. And whenever we do receive a call like that, we respond right away and sit down and figure out the best way to proceed forward. Because again, we don't want to replicate any type of injustice that is done to other people. What we want to do is step in and make it a teachable moment where people can learn something so it won't happen again, or provide people with more tools so they can better assess and deal with the situation if it happens again.
So if someone is listening who is worried about their child, is worried about the school their child is in, wants to connect with you guys somehow, how can they do that?
Well, they can definitely reach out to us. If you visit our website, outfrontminnesota.org, or no, outfront.org, and there's links to all of the different departments, email addresses for the folks that work in the departments.
I want to add, though, that we also have, because we talk about like the challenges that youth face and stuff like that, but we also have really unique opportunities for youth, and that can really be a building block in their self-esteem and like moving forward and getting past challenges. For example, we received a grant from the POLED Foundation, and we are going to be able to send about 15 students, LGBTQ and allied youth, to summer camps this summer. So there's an application on our youth button. If you tap the youth button on our website, you can get to the application. And there's a specific camp. The students can choose any camp that is approved through the program. But there's a specific camp called One Heartland Camp True Colors. And it's specifically for LGBTQ identified students. So kids can go to camp and be themselves and not worry about any type of discrimination based on that part of their identity. So I just always like to highlight the things that we have that are opportunities and not just we're always fighting the challenges. We have things that really balance it to put really positive messages out towards youth, and then they take that and they spread that to their groups of youth and friends and families and parents. So
that's great. Anything else you guys want to add that I might have missed?
Well, I think just following those remarks, you know, so one of the things that I think about is in Minnesota, we did something that no one thought we could do. So in 2012, you know, we defeated the constitutional amendment that would have banned marriage for same-sex couples. And really across the country, everyone just put us, if you look at the map of the country and what's going on in the elections, everyone would just put Minnesota as like, well, they're going to lose that. It's going to be banned in their constitution. And I think about the way that we won was that we had thousands and thousands of Minnesotans. We had over 30,000 Minnesotans volunteering. to talk to their family members, coworkers, neighbors, you name it, about why Minnesota is a place for all people. And that it's a place where all people should be able to thrive, that that we really should be a place where all people are welcome. And I think about in this current political climate, let's attack that. Let's attack the climate in our national political climate where people are being really divisive and really look at, like, how in Minnesota can we do this differently? How can we really appeal to people's the best part in themselves and have conversations, have them, we know they're tough, we know they're difficult conversations, but that we know we can keep coming back to it and really try to talk about our values and talk about how could we make Minnesota a place that really stands out from the rest of the country, where we really are this place where really truly all people are welcome, where we're having conversations about politics in a really deep way that's not superficial, that we're not knee-jerk, you know, hating on each other on Facebook, but that we're actually really delving into some of the deeper issues about the fact that we have big economic disparities in our state and the fact that there's a lot of racism and that we're really trying to look at, I think for LGBTQ people, it's really looking at the fact that there's a lot of messages out there that there's something wrong with being transgender. And like, let's talk about that stuff. Let's actually have those conversations at the dinner table. Let's have them in our schools. Let's have them in our workplaces and do what we know how to do, which is have tough conversations and get to know more about each other and then come out on the side of being more inclusive and more welcoming.
That's Executive Director of Outfront Minnesota, Monica Meyer. If you have students, teachers, workplaces, churches, or other organizations that would like to work with them, find out information at outfront.org. Finally,